With the Word of God open again at the portion we read earlier, Deuteronomy chapter 4, let us bow for a word of prayer and let us ask the Lord's help. And we come this morning to meet around not just an ordinary book, this is a special book, it is the Word of God, and as such we need help from the Lord, and so let us still our hearts and let us seek His face and ask for that much needed help this morning. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank Thee for all that has taken place in Thy name already this far. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy presence that has been with us. And Father, we pray now that as we come and as we meet around Thy precious truth, O God, we pray that Thou would be pleased to come and to break the bread of life to us even this afternoon. O God, we pray that You would still our hearts and our minds. Pray that You would shut us in with Thee, remove the distracting thoughts of the week that has gone into eternity. Remove those thoughts of the week that is yet to come. O God, we pray that You would shut us in with Thyself. That You would cause that stillness, that hush of eternity to fall upon this meeting. We pray for the removal of all distractions, all hindrances. And O God, we pray that we would hear Thy voice speaking to our hearts this morning. O God, I pray for Thy help now, O God. I am a weak earthen vessel, and as such I need Thy help. O God, I pray You'll empty me of self and of sin. And You'll fill me full afresh with the Holy Spirit. Give me help to preach Thy precious Word. And O God, we pray that Thy Word will go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. Be written upon every heart this morning, and that we would leave this place knowing that we've heard a word from Thee. For it's in our Savior's name and for His glory we pray. Amen. The book of Deuteronomy is the last of five books in what is known as the Pentateuch, running there from the first book of the Bible, Genesis, to the book of Deuteronomy. These books, they are written by Moses, and they contain a detailed historical account of the early beginnings of the world and, of course, of the historical account of the children of Israel. It details to us their exodus from captivity in Egypt. It tells us about their wilderness wanderings and the great dealings that Almighty God had with His people. The word Deuteronomy is in the Greek title in the Septuagint, and it means the second law giving. Not that we are saying that this is a second law, not at all, but rather this is the same law that had already been given, but re-emphasized and repeated. See, the relevance of God's law to the children of Israel now had a greater meaning than what it did before. The children of Israel had grown in their walk with God and their wilderness wanderings. And so in this book of Deuteronomy that we have before us this morning, Moses, he's articulating the law of God once again, and this time he is reflecting on the experiences that the children of Israel have had. In this book, Moses is affirming again the precepts that Jehovah has set forth for the conduct of His chosen people. You see, the children of Israel were people of the divine covenant of God, and as such they were required to serve God as He had outlined to them. As we come to chapter 4 of Deuteronomy, we have here a summary of the covenant of God. Verse 1 tells us there, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them." Here Moses is outlining for the second time the statutes and the judgments that are contained within the covenant of God. And here he is exhorting the people. He's exhorting the children of Israel to live by the law of God. Verse 6 tells them to keep therefore and do them. Here was a timely reminder for the children of Israel. And child of God, this morning, how often we need that timely reminder on how we should be living for Him. How often, and I'm speaking to my own heart this morning, how often we become lukewarm in our faith. Oh, how easy it is to drift away from the things of God, to move away from how we ought to be living for Him. And friends, we need the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh on our own hearts this morning in this place. How we need to be awakened out of our spiritual slumber that we can so often find ourselves in. How we need to be set on fire afresh for Him. We read there a solemn warning given in verse 9 of the chapter 4. And it is the verse 9 that I want to take as the text this morning that we're going to consider for the remaining moments of this service. Look at verse 9 with me there. It says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." What a tremendous verse of Scripture we have before us here in verse number 9. And child of God, as we meet here this afternoon, there's a lot that is vying for the attention of the child of God. In this day, in this age that we live, there's many distractions out there for the children of God. There are many temptations that are placed in front of us. Many things that can take us off looking upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. There are many things that are going on in the world around us that can depress us. They can get us down. They can cause us to falter and to waver in our faith and in our trust in God. And here, Moses, he is warning the children of Israel, and it's a warning for us today. Only take heed to thyself. That phrase, take heed, it means to beware. You see, we have a warning here laid down before us in our text, and surely when we come to such a portion of Scripture where we're told to beware, where there's a warning that is set before us, surely we ought to take heed. Surely we ought to pay attention to what God is trying to tell us here through His precious Word. Here we have a warning, we have advice, we have words to help us as God's children to live a life that is pleasing, that is holy unto Him. Notice also in our text the word thyself. See, child of God, it's very easy for us to listen to the Word of God and to hear the Word of God spoken, and we can easily say, well, that's a word for the person sitting beside me. Or that's a word for somebody else. It's not a word for me. It's a word for my neighbor. But child of God, this verse here, it is telling us to take heed to thyself. Here we have a personal word of warning. Here's a personal word of advice for every child of God. And as such, as we consider and as we look at this text of Scripture, it is my prayer this morning that the Lord would write His Word upon all of our hearts. That we would take heed of the Word that God has for our souls even this morning. So far, the remaining moments of this service, we want to look at the subject of a command to take heed. A command to take heed. And notice firstly this morning that there is a command to be diligent. Our text in verse 9, it says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently." And when we read the word soul there, as it is in our text this morning, it is not speaking of the soul exclusively that is within us, but rather it is talking about a person as a whole. It is talking about our lives in a whole. You see, we know that as believers that we are kept secure and safe in Christ. It is not up to us to keep our salvation. But we know that we have that hope and that trust in Christ to keep our soul for all eternity. This word, this verse, it is essentially saying that we must be diligent to keep our lives and our conversation in the way that God would have it to be. In other words, we are to be diligent Christians. The word diligent here in our text, it means to show care and to show conscientiousness in one's duties. We're to carry out our lives this morning in the service for God in a most careful and a most conscientious way. Oh, how easy it is in this day and this generation to become careless Christians. We can become distracted. We can often become waylaid, but here we have a warning to act diligently. We're firstly to be diligent in our prayer life. You know, child of God, the first thing that will go when we start straying away from God will be our quiet time with Him. That time when we enter into the closet, when we shut the door behind us, when we seek His face, when we long for that communion, that sweet hour of prayer with our Heavenly Father. That time when we study His precious truth and what a vital component to our relationship with Christ this is. And how often the busyness of life can impede, can take over that time that we've set aside to come in and to seek the face of God in prayer. How often our lives can become so chaotic that we lose out with that communion, we lose out in that fellowship with Him. And believer, those who have been in that backslidden state in their lives, they will testify to the fact that as soon as we leave aside those times of prayer, as soon as we leave aside that communion, that fellowship with God, well, it's not too long then till the sin starts to creep in. We become careless in our Christian walk. We lose sight of that conscientiousness. We go colder in our walk for Him. We become lukewarm Christians. Before we know it, we're in that backslidden state and we are far from God. And there are many today that may say, well, that's a bit of an extreme scenario, but friends, it's not. Being diligent in our communion with God is such a vital aspect to our walk with Him today. And if we neglect it, if we leave aside that time of prayer, if we leave aside communing with Him, we've already begun our backslidden state. And the challenge this morning to every heart is, are we a diligent Christian? Are we spending time in the place of prayer? Are we communing with our Heavenly Father? Are we spending time seeking His face? Are we diligent in our prayer life? Despite the busyness, despite the chaos of this world, are we setting aside that time to come in to His presence and to seek to commune with Him? E.M. Bounds, in his book, Purpose and Prayer, he quoted Stonewall Jackson as saying, I have so fixed the habit of prayer in my mind that I never raise a glass of water to my lips without asking God's blessing. I never seal a letter without putting a word of prayer under the seal. I never take a letter from the post without a brief sending of my thoughts heavenward. I believe that ought to be the testimony of our lives. We ought to be constantly in that attitude of prayer. We ought to be consistently communing with our Father in heaven. Not only are we to be diligent in prayer, but we're to be diligent in our practice. In our text this morning, this chapter that we've read, the portion that we've read off it, we read the constant emphasis for the children of Israel to do and to keep the statutes and the judgments of God. In one verse, in verse 1, we read, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them. Verse 5, we read that ye should do so. Verse 6, keep therefore and do them. And there's a clear emphasis here being placed by Moses on the carrying out, the putting into practice all that the children of Israel had been taught. All that they had heard from the law of God. You see, it wasn't enough for them to have a head knowledge. Yes, the head knowledge was necessary. Yes, it was most beneficial, but it wasn't enough. The children of Israel had to put into practice what God had taught and commanded them through His law. And child of God, this morning, so too it is with us. Aren't we exhorted in James 1 in the verse 22, Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You say it is good for us to have a head knowledge of the things of God. Yes, that is an important thing. That is a necessary thing. It is a vital thing. But friends, this morning a head knowledge is not enough. We're commanded in the Word of God to put into practice the things that He teaches us. The things that we read in His precious Word. We're to live out our faith in our daily walk. You know, it's a poor testimony when believers publicly claim to be Christians and yet they live like the rest of the world. I am not on Facebook or social media, but I've been told by others that there are Christians that are on these sites and they attend the prayer meetings and they act in the right manner in the Lord's house. They're praying publicly. And yet if we were to go on to their social media, they're sharing things that should disgust the child of God. And they're sharing experiences about their social life and their night lives. And friends, that ought to grieve our hearts this morning. Oh, how we ought not to be just living for God and the church family and the church setting, but our whole lives should be a living testimony to God's saving grace. Every aspect of our lives should radiate with the glory and the testimony of Christ. And believer, we must be diligent. And how important it is, especially in these evil and these wicked days, we look around us and the world seems to be deteriorating so quickly. How important it is that we are to be diligent. We're to put into practice the things which God is teaching us, living those lives that are pure, that are holy, that bring that good testimony to our Heavenly Father. And let's be honest, child of God, this morning, there's none of us here that in and of ourselves can do this. We feel God every day. We sin in thought and word and in deed. And friends, we need the help of God this morning. It's only by the grace of God, it is only by His mercy and His help that we can live that life that is holy and pleasing unto Him. And how do we get this help? Well, we must pray. We must ask God for that help. You see how these two things go hand in hand. Being diligent in our prayer life will lead to us being diligent in practice. The more time that we spend with God, the more time that we seek His face, the more time that we read His Word, the more that we will want to serve Him, the more that we will grow to be like Him, the more that we will be stirred in our hearts to live that life that is holy, that life that is pleasing unto Him. You see, a diligent prayer life will lead to a diligent practical life. We're to seek to be diligent in all that we do, both in public and in private. And we need to look to God for that much needed help. And secondly, this morning, notice how there is a caution not to disregard. Our text in verse 9, it says there, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life." Here Moses was commanding the children of Israel not to disregard, not to forget, not to lay aside all the things that God had done for them, all the things that God had taught them. Even though they had seen great things done for God, they had seen miracles done by God such as were not done before, and yet here we read that they still had that need to be reminded not to forget, not to disregard the things of God. And we see firstly here that they were not to disregard God's works. Take a moment and imagine the things that these children would have seen. All that God had done for them, the miraculous events that unfolded right before their eyes, the crossing of the Red Sea, the manna provided from heaven, the provision of water from the rock, the Shekinah glory, just to mention a few. And yet how these children, they still had to be reminded not to disregard, not to forget the things of God. And how much then do we as God's children today need to heed this warning, not to forget, not to disregard what God has done for us, and most importantly, not to forget how God sent His only Son to save us from our sin. Believer, only for the grace of God we would be in a state of condemnation this morning. We would be in the depths of our sin, we'd be blinded to it, and if we weren't already, we'd be heading out to that lost eternity in hell. But friends, in His loving kindness and His mercy, and in His grace, God sent His only Son to be that ransom for our sin. I'm reminded of the words of the great hymn, "King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall thy glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary." Believer, this morning, if we're honest before God, how often we forget Calvary. How often I forget Calvary. We forget at times what God has done for us. We think, or we take for granted so often what has been provided to us through Christ. We do not think upon what Christ has done for us as often as we should. We're not as thankful as we ought to be. Our hearts and our minds are often prone to forgetting what God has delivered us from and what God has brought us into. The text says, lest I forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Not only are we not to disregard God's works, but we're not to disregard God's words. Remember the major focus of this portion of Scripture, it is a summary of the covenant. It is reminding the children of Israel of their responsibilities to the Word of God, to God's law, His statutes. Remember verse 1, it says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them." And we have Moses placing an emphasis, a warning, not to forget the commands, not to forget the statutes, not to forget or to lay aside the judgments that God had provided. And likewise today, believer, we ought to take heed not to forget the things of God. Not to forget the standards, not to forget the practices that have been revealed to us through His precious Word. We're not to forget how we ought to live for Him, but we're to diligently seek to live these holy lives, lives that are pleasing unto Him. Notice in our text how it says, lest they depart from thy heart. What does that tell us this morning? Well, it speaks of how the Word of God, His statutes, they should be written on the heart of the child of God. His Word should have such an effect, such a grip, such a hold on our lives that is written on our very hearts. Oh yes, we're to study the Word of God for that head knowledge. Yes, we're to memorize Scripture. These things are all good. But more than that, we're to have God's Word written upon our very hearts. God's Word is written on our hearts. We will be stirred to live that life which is in accordance to the Word of God itself. And I wonder this morning, is the Word of God written on your heart? Do you spend time in the Word of God? Do you spend time studying it? Friends, it is vitally important for us as children of God to spend time in His Word. Not just a couple of verses in the morning to satisfy the conscience, but a deep, true, meaningful study. The things of God. Where they ask Him to open up His truth unto us. Where they ask Him to reveal His precious Word to us. There's none of us in and of ourselves that can understand the things contained within this book. It doesn't matter whether you've been to Bible college or not, without the help of the Holy Spirit, without God revealing to us His truth, we will not understand it. We need to seek the help of the Lord. We need to ask that He would open up the Scripture of truth under our eyes and under our hearts. We may understand and get a grasp of the things that are contained within it. But not only is there a command to be diligent, a caution not to disregard, but finally this afternoon, there's a charge to direct. A charge to direct. Our text says in verse 9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Not only were the children of Israel to be diligent, not only were they not to forget the things that God had told them and commanded them, but they were to teach them unto the next generation. And what a vitally important thing that is as Christians this morning, to teach the next generation, to direct them in the things of God, to bring them up in the fear of God, to lead them into an understanding of the things of God. We're to teach them how we're to live our lives for God. Deuteronomy 6 and the verse 7, just over the page, says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Friends, today the world is polluting the minds of our young people. It's polluting the minds of our children with evil and wickedness and calling it good and normal. Children are being taught things that should alarm every one of us. Believers, the world is seeking to corrupt and their minds and their hearts, and so how important it is for us to teach them the things of God. And how we ought to heed this warning, to carry out this charge, to teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And this is a very serious and a very solemn responsibility that is placed on every Christian parent, every Christian grandparent, every Sunday school teacher, every youth worker, every minister and pastor and preacher. Everybody has an influence in the lives of the youth and the children. Oh, we're to teach them the things of God. We're to bring them up in the fear of God. We're to lead them into an understanding of the truth of God. And friends, this morning we cannot underestimate, we cannot undervalue the importance of such a thing. Let's be clear that if we do not teach them this morning, the world will. And the world will not teach them the things of God. It will not teach them things which are in their best interest. There are issues that are facing young people and children today that were unheard of and unimaginable just a couple of years ago. We need to guard the next generation from the wickedness and the evils of this present world. I came across a quote when preparing for this message, and it said that a knowledge of the Bible without a college course is more valuable than a college course without the Bible. And that got me thinking. You see, more and more the Bible, Christianity, is being wiped out of our schools, our colleges, out of our society. Our children are being taught that it is okay to have many gods, that we must accept all faiths. They're being brought up in a course, as it were, where the Bible has been wiped from it altogether. Friends, we need to bring the Bible, we need to bring the Word of God back to our children. It's our responsibility to teach and to instruct them in the things of God. It's our responsibility to lead them into the great doctrines of the Bible, to make known to them the great problem of sin and the provision of Christ. Proverbs 22 in the verse 6, those well-known words say, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." See, there's an internal benefit to teaching children and young people the things of God. Not only a benefit for the souls of the individual, but for the entire generation. You see, if we teach a generation to fear God, if we teach a generation to serve Him and to follow Him and to obey His commandments, well then there'll be a benefit for the entire generation. A benefit for society as a whole. Moses reminded the children of Israel, "Teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Child of God, it is not easy to live for God in this present world. It is not easy to have a life that is pure, a life that is holy, a life that is pleasing unto God. We are weak human vessels. We are prone to wandering. We're prone to failure. We're prone to faltering in our faith. The Christian walk, it is a difficult road. We must ever look to Christ. We take heed to those words of that chorus, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace." Moses, he brought a reminder. He brought a warning here to the children of Israel. And this warning, this reminder, applies to every child of God here this afternoon. We're to guard our spiritual walk. We're to be diligent. We're to have that active prayer life. We're to study the things of God. We're to seek to put into practice those things that we're taught, that we're instructed through God's precious truth. We're to live out our faith. Isn't that what James tells us in James 2:26? "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." What's he saying here? It's not that we're saved by works, not at all. Scripture is clear that we're saved by faith and by faith alone, but rather what he is saying here is that a true believer, one who is truly born again by the Spirit of God, he will show those good works in his life. There will be that desire, there will be that willingness to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. Essentially, what it is saying is if someone professes to be a born-again believer and yet there's no fruit in their lives, then there's a serious question over their salvation. That is what it's saying here. Good works will come forth from a true faith. And we ought to be living out our faith. We ought to be living out in practice our salvation before others. There's also a command here not to disregard, not to forget. We're to remember all that God has done for us, especially the sending of His Son, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be that ransom for our sin, to bear the wrath of God on our behalf. And we're not to forget the Word of God, His commands. His statutes should be written upon the heart of every child of God. And then finally, we have this charge to direct, this exhortation, this command to teach and to instruct the next generation in the things of God. And there's a challenge for every child of God this morning, a challenge for every believer. There's a challenge to my own heart. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 4, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments." Verse 9, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." May Lord give us grace, strength, and the help to take heed to His Word this morning, and to go forth into this present evil world and to live a life that is pleasing unto Him, and to bear that good testimony of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless His Word to our hearts this morning.